I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
A faithful shepherd is my Lord, who doth great plenty me accord, who leadeth me to pastures green, gives me to drink from waters unseen. A faithful shepherd is my Lord, a faithful shepherd.
Thank you, choir, for that encouraging song. And thank you, my friend, for joining me today for the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. I don't know about you, but I take great comfort in knowing I have a faithful shepherd to guide me into the unknown. I hope he's your shepherd, too. I believe the Word of God holds great encouragement for us as we face the future with all its uncertainty. I don't know what you and I will face in the future. There are a lot of challenges on the horizon. You know, our world is becoming increasingly hostile toward anyone who takes a stand for truth. The pressure to compromise is going to increase, but we can't do that. I'm not telling you this to scare you, but we do need to be prepared for what may be coming our way. How can we have the courage to stand true and faithful on the Word of God, despite the pressures to be quiet? What the Lord has given me to share with you today will help to answer that question. You see, if we're fearful about the future, then we probably don't have a proper perspective of living for Jesus. He's not the author of fear, but the author of peace. So I want to encourage you today from God's Word. Before we do that, let's pray. Father God, we come to you in weakness and in fear. We confess to you that the future for us is unknown. We're so thankful that you are in control of the future, as well as the past and the present. Thank you for the confidence this gives us as we walk with you. And now, Father, as we look into your Word, guide us, open our understanding, and show us how to live godly lives in the midst of much wickedness. Thank you for hearing our prayer, because we come to you in the name of our intercessor, the Lord Jesus. Amen. As some of you already know, Heralds of Hope is celebrating our 50th anniversary during this year, 2018. As we look back over those 50 years, we can clearly see the hand of God's blessing on the ministry. On the other hand, as we look ahead, we have many questions about the future. Our board of directors is looking to God for wisdom and direction as they actively plan for the next 50 years of ministry for Heralds of Hope. You know, the future can be exciting, but in some ways it can also be scary. There's so much in the future that you and I can't know. and sometimes the unknown is frightening to us. You and I have fears of bad things that might happen. Fears of where or when the next terrorist attack will come. Or perhaps fear of meeting with an accident of some kind. An accident that would leave us unable to care for ourselves or our loved ones. Or maybe the dreaded word, cancer, is a real fear for you. But let me remind you, those kinds of fears don't come from God. Those kinds of fears come from our enemy, the devil. He wants to use those fears to discourage you, to distract you, and defeat you. And he wants to do the same to me. So he sends all kinds of fears, whether real or imaginary. In contrast to the doubt and fear that the devil brings to us, God gives peace. Now that doesn't mean bad things won't happen to us, but it does mean that whatever we face in life, God is with us. Romans 8:28 tells us, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose." That's a promise you and I can count on. Today I have some words of hope for you from the Holy Scriptures. If you're a follower of Jesus, these words will bring comfort to you. If you're not a follower of Jesus, then this message should strike fear into your heart. And I pray that fear will motivate you to become a follower of Jesus. Nothing would bring me more joy than to have you become a child of God. And God spells out for you in his word how you can learn to know him in a personal way. I want to take you to the book of Psalms for a message of encouragement. I've titled the message, How to Live a Godly Life, and it's taken from the first psalm. So listen carefully as I read that psalm. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Looking at this psalm, I want you to see three differences between the godly and the wicked that will help you know how to live a godly life. The first difference is, express a different delight. Notice the contrast in verses 1 and 2. The ungodly person accepts the advice of the wicked. When he has a decision to make, he seeks the advice of those who will tell him what he wants to hear. He approves the behavior of those who regularly disobey God. He holds them in high regard. He counts them as his friends. And he delights in those who mock God and God's laws. But if you're a godly person, then you're different. You shun the advice of the ungodly. Their wickedness is a grief to you, and you have only pity for the scornful because you know what their end is. Your delight is in God's law. That's God's word. That delight puts you on a completely different path than the wicked. And in God's word, you find direction for the choices that life offers to all of us. So let's think about some of these differences. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 57:20, the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. They have no peace because they're always seeking some new form of wickedness to delight in. You know, sin never satisfies the longing of the human heart, the longing for peace, for joy, and for acceptance. Wicked people delight in each other's company. They urge each other on, and each one tries to outdo the other. And then, when there are no immediate consequences from the civil authorities or from God, They scoff at the thought of judgment. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 8 says, "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." We can clearly see the results of this in our society today. You know, we expect wicked people to show contempt for God's law, but what really grieves me is we find contempt for God's law even among those who profess to follow Christ. So many leaders in organized religion are stumbling over one another in their haste to accept all forms of behavior as acceptable to God. And anyone who attempts to call them back to God's standard of righteousness is accused of being either harsh or unloving. But as I said earlier, the godly person is different. He or she delights in God's law. He knows that following the desires of his own flesh is not freedom. It's slavery. She knows the commands God has given for living are for her blessing and not for her destruction. He knows that physical life is only a moment in comparison to eternity. She understands that the choices she makes now have eternal consequences. He ponders the truth of God's word and then asks the Holy Spirit to reveal areas in his life where he needs cleansing and growth. Their delight is in becoming more like their Heavenly Father. Now, which of these persons represents you, my friend? Have you identified yourself with the ungodly? Do you mock God and those who choose to follow in His way? Or maybe you appear on the outside to be a follower of Christ, and yet secretly you delight in the ways of the wicked. I hope and pray that doesn't describe you. But if it does, you're only fooling yourself. God can see right into the core of your heart and mind. He knows your thoughts. You can't hide anything from Him. If what I just said describes you, I hope you'll keep listening to the end of this teaching so you can learn the fate that is waiting for you. Or do you delight in God's law and use it as a guide for daily living? I hope that's your choice. Do you make it your goal to please Jesus in everything you do? Do you cooperate with the Holy Spirit as He is performing His work of transforming you and your desires? Are you developing a spirit of wanting to do what's right? If that's your experience, then I would say there are great things ahead for you. You are learning to express a different delight, and that delight will teach you how to live a godly life. The second difference, then, is expect a different development. The next contrast between the godly and the wicked is found in verses 3 and 4. The godly person, the one who delights in God's law and lives by His commands, is described as a tree that's planted by a river. He or she is nourished by the waters of the river. Their roots sink deep into the fertile soil. They gather the nutrients that bring stability and growth and fruitfulness. They're not easily swayed by the winds of life because they're anchored deeply in the truth. And their fruitfulness is perpetual. It doesn't end. Their leaves don't wither because there's continual life flowing through their inner being. Their delight in the Lord sustains them when all around them is drying up from the lack of water. And whatever they do moves them toward the goal, their reason for living, to be more like their Heavenly Father. Does that describe you? If you're a godly person, you have a favored position because of your delight in the Lord. I'm reminded of the words of Jesus in John chapter 14 and verse 23. "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." My friend, there's no greater joy than having the presence of God Almighty living within you. The true and living God, the God of the Bible, is holy. And because He is holy, He cannot stand sin. Sin is an offense to Him, and it must be punished. His anger, His wrath against sin, was satisfied at Calvary when Jesus died on the cross. He is a God who loves you so much that he sent Jesus to die in your place. Jesus took the punishment that you deserve. He took the punishment that I deserved. And now, when you accept, by faith, the sacrifice Jesus made for you, you can be forgiven and adopted into God's family. You can belong to him in a personal way. He forgives your sin, you become his child, he becomes your Lord and Master. Your life will become fruitful and worthwhile. It will have meaning and purpose. It will count for something. That's the development of righteousness. But then what about the wicked? Well, our text says they're like chaff. Chaff. What is chaff? It's the outer husks that cover the kernel of grain. What's it good for? Nothing. It's waste. It's worthless. It's blown away by the wind when the grain was being winnowed. Dusty. Irritating. Something to be discarded. That's the description of the wicked. That's what they have to look forward to. That's the development for delighting in wickedness. Not only that, but the Bible tells us that the chaff will be burnt with fire. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble, and the flame consumes the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. That's Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 24. All the pleasure, all the fun, all the excitement, all the thrill of the forbidden, all of it gone in a moment. No lasting fruit. And then what? We move to our final difference now. And that final difference is accept a different destiny. Look at verses 5 and 6. Oh, the tragedy of foolish choices, of identifying with the wicked for just a moment of pleasure. Or the tragedy of thinking there's safety in numbers. It all comes to nothing at the judgment. And make no mistake, my friend, judgment will come. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 and 28 tell us, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation." That's the contrast, my friend. The psalm writer says the ungodly shall perish. Not maybe, not perhaps. They shall perish. They will stand condemned by their own choices. These, the scripture says, shall go away into everlasting punishment. And John the Baptist spoke these words at the baptism of Jesus. Listen, his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. But the righteous, what about them? Verse 6 says that the Lord knows the way of the righteous. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." I pray you're one of those whose heart is loyal to the Lord. And because the righteous refuse to delight in the way of the wicked, God now delights in them. He knows them as his very own. Because they were grieved by the blasphemy of ungodly men, they now rejoice in the commendation of their Father. "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." The righteous are accepted with God because they have chosen in faith to obey his word. They were willing to come to the cross of Christ and voluntarily confess their sin and their need of a Savior. They surrendered the control of their lives to him. He became their Master and Lord. Because they delighted in him through the trials and struggles of life, he will delight in them and give them a home with him in heaven. And they will live and reign with him forever and ever. Oh, what a glorious destiny awaits those who delight in the Lord. What a stark contrast, my friend. Eternal punishment or eternal glory? And today, you can still choose. If you're living an ungodly life, you can change by the power of God. And if you're already a follower of Christ, you can be challenged to draw closer to Him, to delight in Him more fully. That's what I want. You can choose what you will delight in, the way of the wicked or the way of the Lord. But once you make that choice, your life will take on a development and a destiny that are predetermined. If you choose the way of the ungodly, sorrow and heartache will be the fruit that develops in your life, and destruction will be your end. Or you can delight in God and His Word. You can experience the development of lasting fruit, of righteousness, peace, and joy. And you will reach the destiny of the righteous. A glorious eternity will be your reward. So, my friend, now you know how to live a godly life. The choice is yours. It's not a choice to be made lightly, because eternity hangs in the balance. Let's pray. O God, Heavenly Father, thank you for these clear instructions on how to live a godly life. Father, I pray for my friend who is listening, who is your child. I pray that he or she will have a renewed delight in you, a new passion to glorify you through a godly life. Bless them, Father, as they recommit themselves to you, even as we pray together. And then, Father, I pray for my listening friend who does not know you in a personal way. I pray they will come to you today, repent of their sin, and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. Help them to understand this decision will change their destiny and the development of their lives, and it will give them a new delight in you. I ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Oh yes, my friend, I hope that's your testimony, that you're bound for the land of Canaan. You see, it's only as we keep an eternal perspective that we'll be able to live a godly life. Well, our time is quickly slipping away. Are you interested in helping others live a godly life? One way you can do that is by getting a copy of this program and sharing it with someone else. And there's no charge for this. All you need to do is ask for the teaching by its title, How to Live a Godly Life, either in print or on an audio CD. Now, the easiest way for you to contact us is by using our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope at heraldsofhope.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a copy of the teaching, How to Live a Godly Life, either in print or on an audio CD. Or you can log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to this teaching whenever it fits into your schedule. We also invite you to visit our Facebook page to see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or to read an encouraging testimony. It's also an easy way for you to send a message to us, and we'd love to hear from you. Now, once again, you may send your request to our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292 and ask for the teaching, How to Live a Godly Life. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number 866-960-0292. Truly, it is God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, that will enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now I hope you'll join me next week for the Voice of Hope. And until we meet again.
Was howling, waves were crashing high. The disciples cried out in despair, afraid that they would die. Then they saw Jesus walking on the water through the storm, and Peter heard him call his name above the roar. Get out of the boat and into the water, step right out and face the storm. You can trust your heavenly Father when he calls you overboard. Get out of the boat and into the water, keep your eyes upon the Lord. You can walk on water with the one who will lead you to the shore. What kind of storm is raging in your life?
If you're the Savior calling you, are you afraid to try?
The enemy can't stand against you if you will believe. Faith to step into the storm, that's all you need. Get out of the boat and into the water, step right out and face the storm. You can trust your heavenly Father when he calls you over, calls you overboard. Get out of the boat and into the water, keep your eyes upon the Lord. You can walk on water with the one who'll lead you to the shore. Get out of the boat and into the water, step right out and face the storm. You can trust your heavenly Father when he calls you over, calls you overboard. Get out of the boat and into the water, keep your eyes upon the Lord. You can walk on water with the one who'll lead you to the shore. You can walk on water with the one who'll lead you to the shore. Lead you to